What's up, everybody? It's the Ramon Foster Show. And that happens to star the one, the only number 73 in your program and in your hearts. That would be Ramon Foster. Okay. He, of 11 years, starting guard in the National Football League, all 11 of those for the Pittsburgh Steelers. How many times you run out of the tunnel?
Man, I got.
No, I mean tunnel. Like I'm talking about tunnel as intros.
Intros, man.
From the University of Tennessee.
Ooh, I used to love that, DK. Let me tell you this: if you are a true competitor to that point right there, DK, at every level that I played at, all I wanted was to be in the starting intro. You like? I ain't gonna say all I want. That's not all I wanted. My validation, which is what we're going to speak about in a second, validation, right, DK?
We sure are.
My validation was if you are like a competitor, you take what you're doing serious, DK, opportunity presents itself, you want to hear every frigging game your name yelled over the PA system. Whether it was basketball, DK, I wanted to be one of the five. Whether it was college and I got to wait, DK, I needed to be able to run out of that tunnel. Even though they don't have offensive linemen intros, DK, I needed to see my picture, or I needed my parents, my mom, them to see my picture. And DK, I ain't going to lie to you. Like, coming to the Steelers in 2009, like in that era of just pouring in greatness, two Super Bowls within 3-4 years, DK, and like being all of that history, it seems like it's impossible as heck, especially whenever you are an undrafted guy. But to really week in and week out run out of that doggone tunnel, that smoke goes through, and you got to decide if you're going to jump, you just going to put your hands out for high fives, you're going to jump in the air. Oh, my God. Gosh, what an honor that is, DK.
You do the full TJ, you know?
Oh my God. I couldn't do all that because listen, TJ get a few plays off during the game. I gotta be 70 plays locked in.
That's
yeah.
Why. Okay. That's
okay. All right. If that's the case, then what offensive lineman have you ever seen go over and beyond coming out of the tunnels?
You just kind of wave.
Yeah, exactly. I thought the caster was mad that he had to come out of a man. Oh my God. They were just. It was me and Pounce that had the most energy coming out of it. Pounce and me that had the most energy coming out of it. But yeah, that is an honor right there, DK. Absolutely.
For anybody who doesn't know, by the way, a little inside stuff here, the tunnel, who's picked to go, whether it's offense or defense, is decided by the head coach. But he gets deeper than that. There are things to be interpreted from who goes through the tunnel. For example, just this past season, once you started to see Jaylen Warren creep into the having more activity, he would sit somebody else and have Jaylen and Najee Harris get the intros because you can only have 11.
Yeah.
So a little there's always some little politics that go into it, isn't there?
It is, man. Well, we're going three big tight ends. I know we used to do that with Matt Spaeth, the Godfather, Heath Miller, and David Johnson. Like we would do that variation right there. And that's exactly what I was going to send a message that this is a big man's ball game on this Sunday. We are using all three of these bigs. Plus the offensive line. Oh, my gosh. The theatrics, DK, behind this game that is also a business that we're learning about more and more.
Speaking of theatrics, Joseph Donovan comes in and reminds us of a certain act that's yet to be performed.
Saying amateur hour here, Joe.
On this particular program here.
Joe, this ain't amateur hour, all right? You ready, DK?
Uh-huh.
Let's go.
All right, we're going to get right to everybody's questions here in a little bit here in the Hey Moan segment. But first, Moan mentioned some validation issues that we're looking at here. Are the Steelers kind of lowering themselves a little bit in this whole quarterback process? Do they have to? Is it a necessity? Is it something that makes the players cringe the way Cam Hayward seemed to be cringing on his podcast yesterday? Do you know what I'm saying?
It makes me cringe a little bit. I ain't gonna lie.
Okay.
Just a little bit. The Steelers ain't ever waited on anybody. That boat always leaves the dock, DK. That train leaves the station, and that car, I can use all the doggone cliches you want. That car is fully gassed up at all times, DK. It just shows you where proper planning has left you, or the lack of, more than anything, DK. And the other side of this, too, is the amount of money that's being paid out by other teams, too. Like, until Pittsburgh fully gets to winning ways and going deeper in the playoffs and winning big-time primetime games, they do that. I ain't going to say Pittsburgh gets swept on those 8 o'clock games Eastern, right? That doesn't happen. You're not getting beat down until pulp. But that luster, DK, where you give and submit, is not there anymore. You're also dealing with a different generation of athletes. Like, guys talk, guys' business, like, their businesses that they run. It's different. Like, how they handle their own marketing, DK, is different. So to say, hey, black and gold over here, you want to be here? Yeah, it's left us high and dry right now. The fact that we, y'all and fans included, we're waiting on somebody to proclaim they want to come party with us.
And he's not exactly of some new generation either. No. He's 42. Okay, but let's be real clear here.
It is, but it's also to me, it screams desperation also to DK. Yeah. And that, to that point, finding a quarterback, no. Finding the quarterback, DK, is exhausting. Don't ask me how I know, because I cover a team that has the number one overall pick, and I am over her talking about the quarterback. Do you take him number one, or do you take a better graded prospect like Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter? But DK, here we are. Here's a guy to be in any other draft slated from like 6 to 12. As far as Cam Ward in this draft, talked about being number one overall. When you know in your hearts, DK, Abdul Carter is a really good player. Mason Graham out of Michigan is a real good defensive lineman. Like, Travis Hunter is a really good defensive or offensive player. But the desperation for a quarterback, DK, I never thought I'd see Pittsburgh go through this.
Well, and that's part of it. And then the other part of it is almost like there's two tracks here that are running parallel. One is the whole Rodgers discussion. The other one is that you brought Mason Rudolph back.
Well, yeah.
And this is the first program we've had since it happened, what was this, late last week?
I think it was Thursday. I feel like it was when we got off there.
Right afterwards, yeah. But Mason's back. Mason's here. You know Mason better than pretty much everybody on a lot of fronts, on and off the field.
We talked this past week,
and we'll get to that too. But you also have a big edge on all the rest of us in this regard, in that you saw him up close and personal just now in Nashville playing for the Titans.
Yeah,
and I think that's one of the things that I've been most waiting for this show this week to ask you about, because the numbers are kind of funny, okay, as it relates to actually the Titans offense in general, which was not good.
I've
been told by a certain somebody, okay?
Yeah, it wasn't good.
But Mason had some odd numbers. In five starts, he had 9 touchdown passes, which is okay, but he also had the 9 interceptions. Did you see him be loose with the ball? What did you see in those picks? Did you see – because he wasn't like that when he was here in 2023.
Now, see, here's the thing. I can say this. This is what I would tell you what I saw, and I said this on air, and I'm not excuse-making for Mason because he's my guy. 3 or 4 of those were tipped.
Okay. By teammates.
By teammates or the defender on the other side. They didn't turn around in their spots to see it. 3 or 4 of those were tipped, though, too, DK. So does 9 and 4, you know what I'm saying, 9 and 5 make you feel better about his perspective? This is what I will also say. There weren't many weapons on this team. As far as the Titans I'm speaking of, as far as the ability to make plays downfield, and this is what I've been preaching to as an offense, and it's probably why they end up keeping George Pickens. You got to have about 3 to 5 guys offensively that scared the other team.
Yeah.
Titans didn't have that. Then they had a young enough offensive line where you couldn't consistently run the football the way you needed to. Two, what I'm saying, it was very predictable. When they needed to pass, everybody knew that. Okay? It was passing sets where you knew the ball was going to go. To say he was handcuffed, I would also give Will Levis that grace too, which is what I've been doing lately too. He's not as bad as I think some say he is. He's just not good in this offense and the surrounding parts
around. Levis you're talking about now?
Yeah, Levis. And I would say the same for Mason too. It wasn't like they put the ball in Mason's hand and say, hey, goal and you're our guy. I feel like Mason was a tool used to motivate Will Levis moving forward. In that, what I did see from Mason was the floor of the offense was a little bit better. Meaning this, when the ball needed to get out, it got out, DK, right? You can't help the fact that guys get sacked. But what I will say is Mason also decreased their sack totals when he got in the game because the ball was coming out. It's a matter of what weapons do you have? Do you trust him to command and run the offense, DK? And your ability as a coach to actually call the plays that are going to be somewhat risky, but good. I don't think they had that. I will say, and I've said this on my radio show here in Nashville, I think Coach Brian Callahan, the head coach of the Tennessee Titans, was learning on the job also. Which
how could he happens. Not be? Yeah.
It happens.
Yeah. How could he not be? So basically, if I had to sum it up like in half a sentence here, was Mason still the guy that you saw here in Pittsburgh in 2023? The late part of the season.
Late part. Yes, that was still there. And I think also through this experience, he's better, DK. Let me ask you this from an analyst.
How would that be the case before you ask?
Just the processing of seeing something different.
Oh, okay.
The experience is to get good, you need to play through it and also see high success or really bad failure. Last year, Mason and his squad, I think, saw really bad failure, DK. So the appreciation of knowing that, look, George is there, DK is there, Jalen is there.
It's different.
It's different. Plus, you operate a whole lot better, DK, when you know you got protection or the ability to hide it, right? That matters to a quarterback. My spot is good, and I can deliver the football the way I want to. That matters a lot. Mason's going to be, hate to call him a robot in what he's going to do, but with how the offense is going to be ran, you're going to get that blueprint, and that's what Mason's going to do. You don't have to worry about a guy trying to improv.
Okay, so between what I'm hearing from you here, I don't mean to keep pressing you on this.
No,
okay?
You're good. This is what we do.
Okay, but between what I'm hearing from you here and what I've heard from across the river over there regarding Mason, there are similarities that have been described by people within the Steelers. Not that they need a comparison point for Mason, right. But you get what I'm saying here. Mm-hmm. As far as Arthur Smith is concerned, that there, and his being the coordinator, that there's a Mason and then there's a Ryan Tannehill, and that there are some similarities between the two with their styles. There are absolutely similarities between the way Arthur would prefer to run this offense. He doesn't need somebody flying all over the place. He doesn't need somebody trying to scramble out of trouble. He wants to, and I'm going to quote a certain individual directly here that I've been communicating with, hold the pocket, step up in the pocket.
Yes.
Now, talking to Ramon Foster over there to my side, he hears step up in the pocket and he lights up like Christmas morning because that's what offensive linemen love. Okay.
Yes.
Right. Now, that said, set aside your friendship, the fact that you guys were teammates on the field, that you've been through a lot, mm-hmm. good and bad together on and off the field and all that other stuff. Set that aside.
Yep.
Can he be quarterback one? Should he be quarterback one for the Steelers in 2025?
Yes. Period. No other reason around it. He's there early enough. That's the other part too, DK, in which we're dealing with Aaron Rodgers. He's there early enough to learn Arthur Smith's offense. He's there earlier enough to get a relationship with the wide receivers. The separator between Mason and Aaron Rodgers is this, and I think that's what the Jets found out whenever he got there with them. You got to conform to Aaron. He's almost going into 20 years at this point, DK. You expect a 20-year vet to learn an entirely new offense. And not just that, DK. There are discrepancies. Well, there are conversations around Aaron Rodgers being in the city that he's employed in the offseason. You can't learn Arthur Smith, and Arthur Smith can't learn you either if you're not in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Mason's there. Mason wants to be there. So if you're asking me as a professional, where would I feel more comfortable? The name Aaron Rodgers, love it. The player Aaron Rodgers, hate it. It's just that simple, DK. You worry about injuries. You are also the attitude, the locker room culture. But you know what? Oh, we got Aaron Rodgers.
Right. You win. You win SportsCenter for the day.
Think about this. And one doesn't correlate to the other, but the scenarios we've seen. Arizona, I mean, not Arizona. The San Francisco 49ers have done everything they possibly can to go find the guy. Jimmy Garoppolo, if I'm not mistaken, was there. They went and got Trey Lance as early as they possibly could. They've had quarterback after quarterback. You know the guy that works for them? Mr. Irrelevant. Oh, right?
Okay.
You go with what works, DK. If that guy can run Shanahan's system out there in San Francisco, why in the heck would you go anywhere further than him? If Mason Rudolph and the perception of what he can do inside of Arthur Smith offense, I get the name. I love the idea of selling tickets. You know what sells tickets in Pittsburgh?
Winning.
Now, let me keep the friendship hat off. Here's what I will tell you this too. Mason's got to clean up his abilities to also deliver the football and not give like dumb turnovers as any quarterback. Until Mason gets to a point to where he's established as a quarterback and have the ability to be given grace in turnovers, right? Whether they were tipped or not, minimize it. If he does that, DK, he's got the arm, does he not? He's got the mental fortitude. So what's stopping you other than the fact that, hey, my brother, it's yours. Hey, yeah. Run this team. He's had everything but that, to be real, which had to come in and save Kenny, did he not? And then he did the same exact thing as it pertains to Will Levis in Nashville. You expect a full calendar year and offseason that you can have him, as D. Jason said, Mason should be QB1. Put the pride to aside. I honestly feel like his situation, I know I'm long right here, DK, honestly,
your
like
show.
I know, but like I like to go back and forth, which I like to play ping pong with you verbally.
I'd rather hear this, to be honest with you. I'd rather learn.
Honestly, and I hate franchises, all levels, okay? All levels, all professional ranks too. They got to follow the name because the name tells them that's good. Doggone it, DK. See what you're seeing and believe it sometime. Why would you as a franchise have to wait on Aaron Rodgers? I don't care if he's a first rounder or Mr. Irrelevant like Brock Purdy. If he works, roll with it, DK. It felt like how, real personal, real quick, how mine was, where year after year you had to prove to yourself that you belong until they actually believed it. Pittsburgh has a heavy reputation doing that from time to time. Even though I will say this, I don't know if there's been many teams to give undrafted free agents the amount of chances they have. But the idea that you can just have it, that doesn't live well in Pittsburgh. And I hate that the fact that they're allowing Aaron Rodgers to just have it.
Ugh, it's so distasteful.
I hate that.
It's so distasteful. And sometimes when people hear it, I'm glad to hear it from you. I'm glad to hear it from, you know, from guys on the current team. I really don't like when it comes from people in my line of work, because it sounds like, actually it probably is, us getting tired of chasing it, okay, chasing the story, and tired of being, you know, repetitive like this, where it's, you know, I'd rather be talking right now about, you know, how do you incorporate DK Metcalf into this office? How's he going to, you know, bookends with stuff? I'd rather do that, okay? Uh-huh. But this doesn't let you go.
No.
This story, it's not us, okay? If I opened up the floor here in our comments section right now in our chat and say, what do you want to talk about? It would be all this. What's coming in. No one's going to say, hey, what about that new RB2 they brought in from Philadelphia? Nobody's going to do that.
I'd much rather do that, DK, or the fact that Jalen Warren got his, man. What is the second round tender, if I'm not mistaken, for him?
He did. Yeah.
Big payday for him, man. First and foremost.
Talk about deserved.
Yeah, man.
Undrafted. I see you over there.
I said it. I'm talking about both sides of my head with that. I acknowledge that. But here's so Hog bring up something, DK, before we even get to Hey Mo, that we got to learn from history a little bit, okay? Hodge brings this up. Hodge says this. I still feel like this is desperation. This is a desperation move on Tomlin's part to get Cam a chance at a Super Bowl, basically. You can't do that. In a sense of like, oh, go get the Super Bowl winning quarterback, or you try to go get Russ to believe that he's going to take you to the promised land, and now is Aaron Rodgers time. And like, the reason I bring that part up as far as like trying to make sure like Cam gets a Super Bowl, DK, you know, like I know, and y'all do too, it's hard making it to that game. you have to continually build up a team, believe in that team, show that team you believe in them, and eventually you will get there. Like, it's hard for everybody to play what Howie Roseman is doing right now in Philly. But let's think about this. They had to fire a coach. They went and got a second-round quarterback, and they worked a system that is currently killing it right now in the NFL.
Yes, yes.
You see what I'm saying? So you can't rely on the fact that, look, man, Cam didn't get his. Pounce didn't get his, right? Like these are the things you have to say. Dave didn't get his. I didn't get mine. You can't live that world. Antonio Brown didn't get his with the Steelers. Ben didn't get one more. You can't live that life and saying, hey, I got to go win it for these guys. Because in hindsight, a lot of people tell you, well, that's the reason you're in the position that you're in right now. You didn't plan for the future post-Ben, post the offensive line. All of those questions right there, DK. You can't live life in the NFL that way.
Guys, as good as that segment was, believe it or not, the only segment that matters is actually still ahead.
It is. It's Hey Moan. I'm going to get out the way.
You can't get out of the way of your own show. Get out of here.
We'll be back.
At DK Pittsburgh Sports, we take pride in coverage that connects our city's fans to their favorite teams. Now, that connection's stronger than ever. Introducing our all-new state-of-the-art app. Find expert inside reporting and original podcasts. Check live box scores. Track the latest stats. Chat it up with our community of thousands of fans, all in one place. The new app from DK Pittsburgh Sports. Coverage that connects.
Oh, man. So good. If you don't know how this works, there's a couple of things to share here. One is to come in and become a member of our channel here. It's dkps.net/join. That includes the Ramon Foster Show. It includes all of our programming here. dkps.net/join. The boss proudly puts up here that we're at 1475 on memberships. That's really cool. Get you all kinds of perks and get you to kind of jump in front of the line here when you want to talk to Ramon.
100%. 100%.
You know, we don't ever hide that. We don't pretend otherwise. Steelers Love says, Ben was 39 when he retired, but we're begging a 41-year-old outsider who can't play anymore to come to the Steelers. Can he play? Can Rodgers still play? And 25 touchdowns isn't nothing.
It ain't the can for me. It's the why.
I love this. Please take this. Because I bring this up myself. I want to hear your viewpoint.
It's the why for me, DK. Like, I can't call you DK anymore, can I? Nah,
sure you can. I was here.
Yeah. Honestly, it's the why for me. Dude, you are a walking gold jacket. You got the ring. You got all the MVPs. The justification of you playing is for what reason? If I'm not mistaken, he's got, if not most of them, close to the top of the records in the NFL. You yep. are him. You were. And to resurrect yourself to walk off into the sunshine, DK, like, or the sunset, he's closer, as I messed that up, walking to the sunshine. Like, he's going to burn a hole into his reputation, in my opinion, DK, that's already cemented amongst the NFL gods. Like, the why is to prove
what?
Who wrong.
Yeah.
You've already
broke. What are you doing?
You've broke the Jets into giving you $90 million, whatever it was, off top.
Yeah. 112.
Like, 112, whatever. Like, it's the why, and I don't know that. But what we know is he's wired different, DK. Now, I'm saying all of this to say that, too. If they ultimately sign Aaron Rodgers, I'm a Steeler, DK, period, right? I'm a supporting watch with a side eye because I'm not rooting against the team. I'm not rooting against him if he is a Steeler. And if he just so happens to do it, I'll eat these words, DK. But I still question why, because the guarantee of walking off into the sunset – ain't a real thing. It's only been so many to do it, right? And even if you look at the task in front of you, do you feel secure in beating Patrick Mahomes? He hadn't proven to be consistent in doing that. Can he also get Baltimore? Can he also get Cincinnati if they get their defense right? And then in the end, DK, when it's all said and done, can you match what Washington is doing and also Philly?
Under what circumstance, in what scenario, in what dream world does anybody think that this individual would become a Steeler? Think about that for a second. A stealer, okay? Someone who comes in and commits to being a stealer. Someone who comes back for the reunions and someone who, okay, none of that exists in this. None of that exists in this. And if it's for money, if he's hanging around for money, after $400 million just in NFL salaries alone, that he's gotten over the years. Never mind. God knows how much he got paid for hosting Jeopardy.
I mean,
sorry. See it if you can catch it.
So here's my thing, though, too. And this wasn't planning on being Aaron Rodgers. We were talking about validation as a Steelers franchise in its current state. And this wait and twirl your thumbs with Aaron Rodgers, it really, like, is he gonna go into the Hall of Fame as a Steeler? You know?
No.
Exactly.
You know, he's a Packer for life. I mean, that's just how that goes.
And I honestly look at it in a sense, especially in his position, because he killed us so bad in that game. But a mockery of like coming to the team that you beat in the Super Bowl, I don't want that line. I'm going to be honest with you. That's where it hits me a little bit more. I'm going to be completely honest with you, DK. That actually is in the equation for myself, too.
James Fairfield says a lot of great athletes don't know when to quit. It's hard. It was hard for you.
Mentally, yeah. Physically.
You had a tough time. Not afterward. You were resolute. I actually kind of, when I talked to you afterward, when we were talking on the phone, you were okay about a month or so after.
Yeah, about a month or so after.
It was about then, okay? But leading up to it, you had to deal with some stuff. You knew you weren't the same player. I'm being respectful.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, that's a credit to your first 10, not a knock on 11. Okay, see how I got around that?
I get where we're at, yeah.
All right, because I was writing the same stuff. Oh, man, he's a 73.
But
you knew.
Yeah, you do know. And that's why I'm asking, like, when you asked me earlier, can he? It ain't a question of can he. It's the why, though, DK.
Why? Why?
He's already popped the Achilles. You've already had a year post that. And here's what we do know. You had a young wide receiver in Garrett Wilson that didn't want to play with you.
Nope.
You also had your team give up draft picks, if I'm not mistaken, for Davante Adams. You end up bringing in Lazard. You brought in tight ends that you like. They reshifted and made the offensive line for you. And you know how many wins you got?
Five.
So for the people that want them, that's what you got to ask yourself. Well, Pittsburgh's different than the Jets. Right now, is it? We're doing the same doggone begging that they're doing.
It's awful. Just awful. Let's
I hate to be a black cloud to this thing, but dang.
It's your show. Robert Shum says, hey, Moan. Hang on a second. I felt that it was a little more gusto there.
A little soft right there.
Yeah. Gonna be real. Hey, Moan, what do you say if we run with Mason and just load up on players around him? Make the team impervious to bad play. That's another one of the points that I've been making, which is you're not paying Mason $30 or $40 million. I'm sure Mason would appreciate if you did. You drop it in his bucket as you walk past him. But you know, you could take that money and say, all right, let's get a swing tackle to compete with Spencer Anderson to come in and make sure you're pushing Broderick Jones. You know, let's get another wide receiver to come in and really make this room solid. You can't do any of that if you're committing all this money to Rodgers.
No, you cannot do all of that. And so that's the other thing too, DK. Have you heard any inklings of what his price is going to be? Like, are we talking 30 plus?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Why would he take less?
Because his talent tells us it's less.
Just telling you. That's what that there's. I've never once heard anything. It'd be 1 year, okay? But it would not be less than 30.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
No, I'd much rather DK do what Philly did and have a strong enough team that no matter if you got a mid first rounder or a second round draft pick, DK, all they got to do is keep the car on the road. And that's out of respect to Jalen Hurts. I think he did a whole lot more. His best game to me was actually in the Super Bowl. But for the folks that minimize him, DK, you know what you do? You build a bulletproof team. That at any capacity, when you get that guy, your team is locked and ready to go, man. They got rid of Carson Wentz for him. Think about that. That's they what did. You're looking for.
At a time when that wasn't the most obvious move that could have been had there. Matt comes in. Some different subjects here we can also tackle. Matt Hyde says, hey, Moan, do you think that Pat Meyer's job is on the line this year? no pun intended. The offensive line needs a big jump. Meyer, for anybody who doesn't know, is entering the final year of his contract as the offensive line coach. That in and of itself puts your job on the line with the Steelers. That's just kind of how they operate. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, Meyer, man, he's had some misses and everybody talks about them, but he's also had Zach Frazier. He's also had Mason McCormick. It's a mixed bag, isn't it?
It is. And you know what's crazy? His job is predicated on the tackles, though. Just being completely honest.
Big investment there.
It is. So is he on the hot seat? I'll say this, man. It depends upon who's available and also how those guys perform this year. You're always on under the microscope as it pertains to that type of situation. Specifically, DK, when you have this amount of talent, a second rounder, two ones at tackle, and some guys you believe in got a lot of talent on the interior. Like, come on now. It's got to take a jump.
Jonathan says trying to save the Steelers way / culture might be a good reason to stick with Mason. I mean, yes. Yeah. Yes. Here's a hiding daddy says with an exclamation point, which is, by the way, how the hey moans really ought to arrive here. I don't want to see a comma. You know, hey moan. Do the player reviews of teams hold much water with how the players actually feel? Are they reflective? Are they accurate? Meaning, of course, the NFL Players Association surveys. Moan, of course, was the Steelers' representative in the union when he was playing. Or is it, hey, rookie, fill this out. I'm not doing it.
Kind of thing. A good bit of it is like that, but then also I think some of it's telling. Pittsburgh don't have the best facilities, period. Everybody knows that.
Nobody would argue that.
And the reason you hear about Cam, Troy, Polamalu, James Harrison, Ryan Clark, those guys spending hundreds of thousands on medical and treatment, is Pittsburgh don't do it. Pittsburgh is a gritty city. Pittsburgh, when I was there, I feel like it's of the mind. We pay you. We provide a certain amount for you, and after that, the rest is on you. It's just how it's always been. I'll be complete in
well, my. What's that point. Mean? For because not everybody's going to understand what you're saying there. What does that mean that they would let the player go pay for what?
It's not. Well, here's the other part from my understanding too, DK. You let me know if I'm speaking out of turn right here. But the Steelers aren't in pocket cash rich team. Correct?
They are not.
They are not. Meaning they are billionaires in valuation. But the day-to-day, let me go pull a billion out of the bank, that's not there from my understanding.
No, it's not. They're not swimming in idle cash.
They're not the Cleveland Brown owners and stuff like that. Like, they don't have oil money. They don't have Jerry Jones cash laying around is what I'm saying. So the teams that get all of that stuff, Seattle, San Francisco, their ownership is very cash rich. Pittsburgh on the other end is like, well, doggone it, we pay you. All right, go ahead and find your own extra if you want that. They have gotten a whole lot better as it pertains to having massage on staff and some of the equipment they have in the building, DK. But for the most part, Pittsburgh, you are, hey, if you feel bad, you can go get some extra work on your own, which a lot of guys still do. It's a culture thing.
Looking at, to see Andrew Donaldson totally gets it here. He says, hey, look at all those exclamation points. What kind of confidence does the combination of Arthur Smith and the DK Metcalf George Pickens combination give you in the passing game, regardless of quarterback? Because, again, we've seen it. We've seen him work with A.J. Brown. Everyone talks about Derrick Henry and the time in Tennessee. That's all great. But they also threw downfield. That's a big part of the Smith offense.
100%. I'm very optimistic about it, man, because here's the thing. When A.J. Brown had Corey Davis plus one of the many tight ends that they had, man, guess what you got? You got 1,000-yard A.J. You got Corey Davis, I think, that got close to 1,000 yards also. He is one of those types of guys, man, that thrives off of having high-talented guys. He tried to and attempted to do the exact same thing in Atlanta. Drake London being one of those guys. Kyle Pitts being one of those guys. Bijan Robinson. Look at the template that he's laid out. Didn't work out because, again, head coach versus coordinators, two totally different jobs right there. I am very optimistic about George Pickens and DK Metcalf being on the field at the exact same time. Mix that in with a Calvin Austin. DK, again, you have to have a level of fear in football, specifically offenses, where teams can't make you do what they want you to do. And I think incorporating DK Metcalf into that offense with Arthur Smith, who's, that's A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
Before A.J. became A.J., right?
Yeah.
Okay. He helped A.J. turn into A.J. You got to think about that,
Doc. It's a pretty big variable. That one boy comes in with a $4.99 contribution and asks, fun little question, how would you all feel about Dino Tomlin being a camp body? I didn't know Dino was up.
He's up.
Okay.
So is Jordan Clark, Ron Clark's son.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like you can say what you want about the Steelers, and I guess you could call that nepotism, right? If you're bringing in a son or a brother or whatever, except that Joey Porter Jr., is their left starting corner, and I don't hear too many complaints about that.
No.
I do hear it occasionally about Connor Hayward, because I think that's mostly because people don't understand what Connor is.
I was going to say, is Connor not justified by now, though?
Yeah, Connor's a good football
player.
He's
validated by now, yeah.
Yeah, and he's also a great team player. And
we're not bringing up the Herbigs.
And with the Herbigs, we just lost one of them, so unfortunately.
The Watts.
Well, some of that came up too. You only signed Derek because TJ's here to keep TJ. Oh yeah, come on.
Giannis did it with his brother.
It happens. Yeah, that's a basketball player. For those of you who like me don't follow, he plays in Milwaukee.
Yeah,
I actually knew that somehow. But yeah, you'll see that on occasion, and it is. But Dino Tomlin might be a different case. You know what I found in the past, and this awesome. Even goes down to the high school levels, and you might have to deal with this yourself, because your sons are okay.
I'm already. Yeah.
Okay. Well, a lot of kids, and this can hurt the daddy's feelings too. On occasion, they actually want to get away.
Yeah.
They're like, I don't want my dad coaching the team. Get out of here, man. You know, the crap I'd have to take behind, in the locker room. I don't want to deal with that.
I actually don't do that. I don't try to mention
you
them on my radio
show. Stay quiet.
Yeah, I try to get away as much as I possibly can. But that boy, like THT, that one boy, I think that's what it is.
Yeah,
I would. I'll be honest with you. I'd sign my own kid. Absolutely. Okay. If I was in his Coach Tomlin's position. I'm going to get this boy off my phone bill and stop paying his car insurance. Yes, I'm going to give my kid a job. Hell yeah, DK. Yes.
Roaming churches be gone.
Yes. If I can put my kid on practice squad, and I know this. Let me say it real quick. This is a fun little point. And I know he can at least hold his own. Meaning,
well,
look,
that's the thing.
Yeah. if it's justified that he's not the worst player on the roster.
That reminds me of all people, the greatest athlete in our city's history, Mario Lemieux, would bring Austin to the Penguins training camp. And Austin was a Division I college player, not a great one, but he was a good one out in Arizona. And he would come into the Penguins camp, and everybody understood, Moan, why he was there. He could skate. He could run through the drills. He could do what needed to be done to not. He wasn't falling down or anything. He's a Division I player, right? Mm-hmm. They knew he wasn't going to make the Penguins roster.
Right.
But they also knew he's Mario's son. Okay. So you respect on that front and you say, here it is. That's what it is.
Doc Rivers has done it. I mean, right now, Steph Curry, at my school, the University of Tennessee, there's an assistant coach whose son also plays on a game. I mean, plays on the team. Jordan Ganey. His father's on staff.
That's a little different. Yeah, I mean, now you've made the team. Yeah,
as long as he can hold his own, DK. I'm gonna be honest. There's been front office does it. I mean, I know the Rooneys are owners, but look across the entire NFL. Their kids are in the front office.
Their kids are some of them are in this one.
Okay, Belichick hiring his son as a defensive coordinator, unproven.
I think his son is older than his girlfriend.
You should leave.
Someone had to do that.
Turn around and walk out the door.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
That was good. You get a bail for that one. That was good, right?
Oh, wow. Jason Williams wants to know what you think of Darius Slay. play Slay.
Play Slay. I'm hoping to see that side of it. And also guidance, too, for Joey. A different voice for him. A guy that he's seen and respect around the league. Some of these signings, man, are just strategic for those meanings right there, DK. How much can you pour into this young fella that I think has some of the same skill sets as you? I like the signing. I want him healthy, though. That's the only thing at his age.
Well, you know, with Slay, the amazing part is he's a 35-year-old corner. Okay. So this isn't even Patrick Peterson territory. This is beyond that. Okay. This is beyond Joe Haden territory. But Slay's coverage rates last year were unbelievable. I mean, some of the best in the league. Yeah. Now, when the end comes, it can come swiftly, but not that swiftly.
Not like that. Yeah.
Okay. Like that. That's what I'm talking about. Steven says, hey, Moan, I apologize if you already covered this. We haven't. But what do you think about getting another top guard to compete with Mason McCormick? Probably going to need a left guard next year, considering Isaac Seumalo's contract is going to be up. What about the guard position right now, Moan, either left or right? Do you want to just run back with Mason McCormick? Do you trust him? Do you believe in his bulldoggedness? Or should he get pushed?
They're going to put him in competition. And here's what you also have to look at too, Steven. DK, do you know off top where the picks are this year? First?
20.
As far, or 21. No, I'm talking about in general. They got every round this year with the Steelers?
No, they don't have second because it went for Metcalf.
Perfect. Okay. Yep, that makes sense. That's a good risk I'll take on that one too. Here's what I do know about this draft in general, DK. There are guys who play guard or tackle that will be available to you that are very high quality in this year's draft. So whether it be Spencer Anderson still getting a shot, or McCormick, either way, you can go get guys in the third or fourth round that are going to be starter quality at the interior position, DK. That's what this draft presents. So if you're still trying to stay cheaper, especially if you sign Aaron Rodgers, there are some guys that you like in this draft, DK, that can play football at that spot.
There are a couple other questions we're going to take here today. We've been kind of setting these aside. I want to make sure I get to the good ones that we have. Daniel DeLima, who's that's a new name for us.
Hi,
here. DK says, DK, we know about the option of trading back in the first round, trying to get back to the second round in 2025. However, how about we trade back and acquire more picks for 2026? They don't do that.
Yeah,
you know, I really don't see that. I don't see a de-emphasis on anything right now. Now, Moan, if you were to look at the 2026 class, and you were to say, "Wow, that class in general looks way better than this one," you can do that. It definitely is in terms of quarterbacks, but everything that we're hearing about this draft, and I know everything that you've picked up on, Moan, when you've been at these
senior bowl and combine.
The class isn't lacking because the class has defensive linemen. The class has running backs.
Yes.
The class has corners. The class has players.
Yep.
You're just drafting players. That's all. Yeah.
And again, it goes down to what is your style and standard that you're willing to take a guy in with more than anything, Daniel. If you're saying facilitate this to go back to potentially move into the top 10 and go get a quarterback, you're still mortgaging a lot of picks that you have to help build up a team, though, too. So it's that side of it for me. Like, DK, I don't know when they're going to get a top-tier quarterback. I don't. As far as draft grade, top 10, I don't know when the Steelers are. But to just say I'm going to sell this year to try to leverage it next year, that's still a hard take because you got to think, if I'm not mistaken, who is it, Chicago is still getting paid off of the Cleveland Browns pick from them, you know, getting Deshaun Watson from the doggone Houston Texans. Like, they sold that pick to go get C.J. Stroud. Like, we're talking about years of waiting before you get back to that point.
Pretty nice trade.
It was a real good, nice trade.
From the Houston perspective, anyway.
It was. And look at Cleveland still picking in the top five again.
Well, they'll be doing that for, like, all eternity. Miles. You seen the drawings of their stadium?
No.
The video? It needs a laugh track.
Stop.
It looks like some combination of a Walmart and an airplane hangar. And it's so – I saw it last night. They actually put this out like they were proud of it.
Yeah.
Just what a monstrosity. But at least they moved way outside of Cleveland to take away the one vibe thing that they had going for them.
What is that city gonna be like now?
I mean, down there, they can get away with stuff down there because if you tear down the Brown Stadium, the current one, you can. I don't want to get into Cleveland developing talk, but you can build around the Rock Hall. They planning some housing and stuff down there by the waterfront.
They're saying Haslam's after they've promised $1 billion in development. I think that's what it was.
If it was down there, yeah.
Okay,
Browns. Gregory comes in with a $4.99 contribution. Said, as you said, DK, build the team around Mason. He means Rudolph, not McCormick.
Yeah. I like that.
The Eagles built out their team around Jalen Hurts, and I think that's a pretty fair comparison point. I'm not saying Mason is Hurts or whatever. I'm not getting into the weird stuff here. But I am saying that that was the Eagles built other stuff before they built their quarterback, if that makes sense. Then they found Hurts. And remember that the first thing that Hurts did, and one of the things that Mike Tomlin was praising Hurts for, this was even 2 or 3 years ago before that became common, was he's taking care of the football.
Yeah.
He's managing the game. He is, the way Tomlin would say it, he's not making mistakes. Okay, well, maybe you have one of those guys, okay? Maybe you do. And maybe everybody was saying the same stuff about Sam Darnold a year ago. Maybe the people were saying the same stuff about Geno Smith a handful of years ago. You want to talk about somebody who was washed up and stuck with the Jets and all that other crap, right?
Yep, 100%.
Sometimes, man, there's only 32 of these jobs on the planet. Sometimes you just got to find a place to get in the right line. You know,
and that's all it is. So, Gregory, I'm of the mindset of yours. I do believe in having a strong team, and most quarterbacks want a lot of weapons to begin with anyway. Go ahead and build it up, man. Find a guy that has the traits that you want to believe in and run with him. I ain't saying it's Mason. Heck, who knows who it's going to be. I've actually had this theory. You want to hear it real quick, DK? You know, I'm a Mason lover, though, too. What if this was a year Mason gets to start and craps the bed? Next thing you know, the Steelers are below 500. You finally fire Coach Tomlin, get your top 10 quarterback with a new head coach.
I think you just won Mason a whole new pack of followers here.
I'm just saying.
I see I see what you're doing here. I've heard the same line about Rodgers. People say something like, oh, Rodgers, all he does is get coaches fired. They go, we'll take him.
See what I'm saying? Like, there's a good bit of our listeners that love that. See? So Jason got win-win situation.
Oh, I see him. That didn't take him long.
Yeah. Yeah, look at Knight Rider, people. We'll just make excuses. No, I do think there's a hard hammer to fall. At one point, we've never seen it. He's never slipped below 500. He's always competing, right? So that's what you got to deal with.
That
he
is.
As a coach ain't a loser, is what I would tell you, DK. And not in his personal sense, not on how he approached stuff. So it's hard to kind of prey on him to lose unless you set him up with a bad quarterback.
When we come back, we're going to take care of a little business here on the Ramon Foster Show. I want to thank a bunch of you for contributing to the program here. Steven came in with 20 gift memberships. Simon came in with 20. Fishing for Trout's back. I've seen that one in a while here. That's five.
Probably been in a stream.
Yeah. This is, by the way, this Some Random Basement podcast is your barber with a sense of humor.
Get out of here, it actually is. Barber.
Yeah. We're in the business of exposing all of Barbara's aliases. She does it. She goes like this. It's Barbara.
I love it, Dolly. Call them out. Team snitching, baby.
DJ with one. Matt with one. The actual base barber account comes in. Thomas with five. Thanks to everybody for contributing. And welcome also to the new members here. This is one I have not seen before. Frank Durstein comes in. Daniel DeLima came in and had a question answered today. So yeah, that's it's a fun time. And at the same time, it's a little bit nerve wracking for Steelers fans, Mo, and you can kind of feel that, right?
I see two comments right now and I love them both. But Jay says, we're about to find out what the ingredients are in the hot dogs.
No, he did not go with the hot dog.
but Mike and them come back and says, fans are so funny. We'd rather suck every few years than to never suck, but never shine either. All right, this is hilarious. I started one a second ago. This is my guy, Chris Arkwright. Don't you dare on Mason. Like,
As if you need to hear that.
Exactly. I just threw that out because Mason is still sight unseen as an open day starter. Who knows how it's going to go?
Who knows how 17 games will go?
For real.
You know, if that ends up being the case, we'll see how all that goes. Deborah comes in expressing some appreciation. That's on our end. That's good stuff. Well, guys, listen, we'll be back with another one of these.
Then it's this real quick, DK, before you put that. Like, we didn't even lose with Duck at quarterback.
Wonder why. I'm not taking credit away. No. Duck played well. Duck made some plays in that game.
No, he hit a home run now, though, didn't he?
Yeah, he sure did.
That boy got on the knee for a country music star.
That's twice now we're getting ourselves in trouble on here.
Duck won. That's what I'm telling y'all, man.
Yeah, Duck won, Civilization 0.
And he's out here doing these hunting excursions, and those, from what I heard, ain't cheap if you want somebody to take you hunting. So Duck is fine.
Duck's going to actually start putting his name into the – he's going to start throwing his name into the ring here too, isn't he?
He did a pod with Ben. I got to go listen to it. I hadn't listened to it yet. I can't wait to hear what he had to say.
I didn't know he did that, really.
Yeah, he did. Recently sat down with him. Sure did.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Guys, if you want to become a member, dkps.net/join is the place to go. This program will be back next Wednesday. I'll be in Florida, but we'll pull it off.
Yeah, we will.
We'll pull it off.
Spring training still going on?
That's why I'm gone. No, it's the day before. I'm going there for – I'm doing two hockey games. Penguins are down there for two games. And then while I'm there, I'll be bouncing back and forth to Pirates spring training. And then they open the season in Miami a week from tomorrow.
Okay.
So if you draw an L-shaped map of Florida, this is going to be me.
You hitting all
like
of
this. Yeah. But one of those stops will be for the Ramon Foster show.
Yeah. There we go then. You going to the place where you get, what is it, the fresh orange juice or pineapple or something like that? The market store?
They closed, man. What? Don't.
Pandemic hit them or what?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Yeah, it was one of those. You're talking about in Bradenton, the Mixes. They have a food truck that they drive around now. It's not the same.
Ah, that's tough.
Yeah, I drove past there when I went to spring training a couple of weeks ago, and I saw the place, and it was all closed. And I'm like, man, that was depressing. The place was there for like 50 years.
I'm getting depressed hearing you talk about it.
Yeah. All right, this is a depressing end of the show. Bye,
everybody. No. Y'all know how we do it, man. Hey, by all costs, meet us back here next year, man. Next week. Call somebody you ain't talked to in a while, man. Apologize to a family member y'all been beefing or a friend group that you cuss somebody out in, okay? Buy somebody a random drink, man. Have a random conversation. ELE. Everybody love everybody, as I take that away from Jackie Moon. But seriously, man. Love y'all. See y'all next week. Peace.